Hey y'all, Ben from Circling the Cup here. You should keep listening after the ending music this week as we kept talking, and I've decided to provide that as bonus material. And now, this week's podcast.
Hello and welcome to Circling the Cup, San Jose Sharks podcast, episode number 119. I'm Alex and I am sick of crazy decisions. Actually, I'm just sick, so I'm doing my best Dan Rusinowski impression. I love you, Dan Rusinowski, for real. Here with me always is Ben. I love you and forever, Ben. How are you?
Hashtag Gritensity.
Oh, Gritensity, probably a topic of the podcast. Foreshadowing, I like how you do that. And of course, the best Sharks pundit of all time. I'm not talking about Kevin Kurz. I'm talking about Colin.
What the hell?
Hashtag no. Intangibles.
Yeah.
No.
So everyone.
Seriously, Colin, yeah. You bring all of the intangibles to this podcast. You are the Michael Haley of this podcast.
That's true. Ben,
fuck you.
Ben, you
fuck
really you. Gotta, Ben, you're really foreshadowing the hell out of this intro. For those of you who wonder why we're so giggly, it's not giggles of joy. It's giggles of insanity.
We laugh because otherwise we would cry.
Yeah, we're going to start the segment off talking about a couple of moves the Sharks have made, including moves they haven't made but are kind of rumored to be making. And why don't we start with the doozy, guys? Because, hey, fan with that Michael Haley jersey, you can dust that off.
So my question is,
Michael Haley.
What team is that jersey?
Obviously our team,
the Barracuda.
Because if you're the Panthers, you're putting dust on it. Basically, you're putting that as far back. First of all, you were turning it. If you even bought, you didn't buy it. No, you didn't buy it.
But let's you know what, Alex, let's tell the whole narrative here, because this didn't start with Haley being claimed. This actually started with Brody and Kurz the day before Haley was claimed on off waivers. When
I know Brody, I love you, but you're killing me.
Would Florida put him on waivers? Both of those guys, claiming no inside information, both posted that essentially, you know, this is a guy the team loves. This is a guy who knows the system. This is a guy that
knows that where bodies we know, are buried.
We know DeBoer loves. So it makes total sense that the Sharks would pick up this guy. As long as you conveniently forget that he has no fucking idea how to play hockey.
Well, here's the thing, right? We picked him up off waivers. I'm going to answer a question from one of our listeners that wrote me on the side, who was trying to make sense of this. And we're going to talk about all the ways this doesn't make sense. Yep. But they asked, well, what if the Sharks picked up Haley so that they could turn him around in a trade? Sorry, listener. Ben is correct on that. Because pretty much every team passed over him on waivers.
They could have had him, but
they could have had him for free. So they're not going to take him for something. Now,
on the waivers, on waivers.
Something to point out. Doug Wilson has been a wizard as of late, but no one is that level Gandalf. It's just not. Go ahead, Gon.
So isn't there a order for waivers? Like it goes down a list. Where were we on that list?
Like fifth from the bottom.
God damn it.
You didn't think somebody else was going to take that bullet for us, did you?
Oh, no. I was just thinking, oh, maybe we were like fifth from the top.
So maybe
we were early stupid, and there's potential there's stupid further down the list.
Let me frame this how our local media did. So here are 4 points allegedly in Michael Haley's favor. And I'm just going to quote this guy, my favorite writer. He says,
you set up the pins, Ben. I'm going to knock him down.
He says, DeBoer loves him. That's checkbox one.
That's the one I actually don't mind.
Strike one.
His former teammates love him. Check two.
That's a good thing.
Sharks fourth line has been pretty meh. Check three.
Okay, so
Haley's which, cheap. Check four.
Sure. Why and not? Haley checks.
I mean. Oh, is that five? That's a fifth one.
So, like, which fourth line, though? Because we've had some pretty damn good fourth lines this season. It's just anytime somebody who, like, I don't know, doesn't have the exact dimensions DeBoer wants, you know, they get shuffled back down. And I mean, hell, what was that one line we had rolling on the fourth for a little while? It was like Goodrow, Sumella, and
I think and Carlson.
No, I think it wasn't Carlson because I think this was where Carlson was floating up and down. I think it was.
You might Donskoy. Be right. It might have been Donskoy in one of the many times that DeBoer has grown frustrated with him and put him on the fourth line.
Put the two Finns together and magic happened.
Well, listen, guys, while we're talking about this, I want to talk to you about another fan who I encountered actually yesterday, who I was talking with, and a very smart fan, longtime season ticket holder. And I brought up that I was a little annoyed by this move, and he was more a little more enthusiastic. And I asked him, well, he asked me why I was annoyed, and I asked him why he was enthusiastic. And he said, look, these are the two arguments that are driving me, that like I haven't been able to sleep. These have driven me nuts amongst all the arguments. The first thing he said was, well, he's not going to play in the playoffs. Now, two things about that drive me nuts about that statement. Yeah. Three things, actually. One, it's DeBoer. You really don't know that. Two, by putting someone in, okay, so let's just say you believe that for a second, that he's not going to play in the playoffs. First of all, the Sharks are going to be in the playoffs. Okay. Yep. They're not on the verge of being in the playoffs. They're going to be in the playoffs.
Yep.
Okay. So if he's going to play until the playoffs, that means that a player who needs to be ready for the playoffs will be sitting. Yep. That is illogical. Now, the third thing, which is tied to that, is he who sits, based off of how we know DeBoer works, will probably be someone who is younger, fresher, or you know, could really use that experience for growth. So last night, for example, and we'll talk about this game more in depth later, I think it was Radil who sat, right?
Yep.
Okay. So when you make an argument like that, you are basically arguing that you are stunting an element of one player for the sake of another player who you do not intend to play in the playoffs. That is crazy.
Stupid.
Then the second thing I heard.
He's probably right. That's the thing, right? Because that's what we saw 4 years ago.
Yep.
Last time Haley was taking
out. But that doesn't mean it's a good. But that does not mean it's not good.
It's
not terrible.
It's terrible. You're right.
And then here was the second thing that he brought up. He brought up three things. The second thing he brought up was basically like, well, we have some grit, which Ben, you're going to get into later. So I'm not going to dive into that. I would argue we don't need that. You're going to argue we don't need
hashtag
that.
#intensity.
But the other thing, the bigger thing, the third thing he argued was basically, you know, the Sharks love him and he's good in the locker room. Let me tell you something that baffles me about that statement. It's not the fact that usually when you hear that, it's because analysts are trying to figure out something nice to say because the on-ice situation isn't good. But here's the thing. Haley's not going to be a leader in that locker room. One, he's not. Two, I don't know about you guys, but this is the first season in a while where, aside from Couture's post-game interviews, where that's just his demeanor, I felt like everything I've heard coming out of the locker room, other than, you know, Vlasic arguing with Kurz or whatever, everything's been dandy. Like, the locker room seems pretty good right now. So it's not like we need someone to come in and magically make it better. I'm not getting that vibe unless there's something seriously wrong with the team. So those two arguments to me, I keep hearing them pop up. And I get why you would maybe think that, but if you take a step back and you think about it logically, they make no sense.
Well, it's this happy time narrative that exists. I mean, I don't watch other teams as much as I should, but at least around the Sharks and around like main NHL media, it's just this complete positivity that makes no sense. It's like, well, the team shot themselves in the foot today. I like this decision. You know, flow really helps them. It's like,
what do you expect guys who follow this team and are embedded with this team to say? We've never, at least since Baldy got shot out of a cannon, there's nobody in the local Sharks media who is willing to call a spade when that spade is negative.
Because every now and then, Randy Hunt gets real quiet.
Getting quiet is not the same as actually saying anything. Let me finish my point here. There's nobody around this team who will call a spade when it's about a player on this team or in the locker room or what have you, except when it's a personal vendetta, as with Kurz and Vlasic. And even then, he'll wait until it's real, real safe to stick the knife in that dude.
Yep.
And beyond that, it's even worse because folks, look, let me be clear. There's only one guy in the Sharks media that I think is just terrible at his job and shouldn't be doing it. We know who that is. The rest of the folks, I think, provide value in some way, but they don't provide an actual honest look at what is good or bad about what the Sharks team is. And you know they don't, because they call these fucking players by their in locker room nicknames. Yep. They do it publicly. that's the number one sign that like
boys club.
We see what happens if they criticize, because they watched Baldy get shot to Edmonton, and nobody wants to go to Edmonton.
So literally, Connor McDavid's trying to get out of Edmonton. He just got suspended.
I mean, and that's the thing that was really striking about this, is how effusive every person in the Sharks media was about this, right?
Yep.
Like, but they don't talk about him being actually good at hockey. Even Kurz didn't. Even Kurz didn't say anything about him being good. He said the fourth line is meh and Haley is cheap. Right?
Yep.
They know he's bad at hockey, and they know they're using code. And I suspect many of them are so effusive about him coming back because he's useful to them as a source. He's a guy who's friendly and likes to talk, and they talk to him. And that's just the reality of it. But the point is, Haley is bad at hockey.
Yeah.
He's bad for this team. And I'd forgotten, actually, honestly, you know, I remembered how bad, you know, just this general hazy memory of how bad he was. But watching him play again, I immediately remembered all the stuff that frustrated me. He can't catch a pass to save his life. He can't hold the puck to save his life. He's garbage. And
he hasn't had a full season this season. Well, either. He started.
That's not the point.
Yeah.
Right. He 25 games, 3 points.
Oh, I'm not justifying.
There's no universe in which he is worth icing over any of the guys on the fourth line. And we've been plenty critical about
the fact that we've got a fourth line in there.
Well, Ben, can I point something out? Can I point something out?
No, he sent me up.
Sure.
He sent me up.
Just to kind of highlight that? No, listen. He got waived by the Florida Panthers.
He got waived by one of the worst teams in hockey.
Yeah, so he's getting waived by one of the worst teams in hockey. He's not going to come in and contribute to one of the quote-unquote best teams in hockey. Like, that's not off the waiver wire.
Now, here's the thing you'll usually hear these media jokers say, too. Like, oh, you guys are getting too wrapped up about the fourth line. The fourth line doesn't matter.
Fourth line wins championships, motherfucker.
And it's like, so here's kind of my summary of this whole thing. And this is the summary of the whole year to date, is that this is a team that has made, on the margins, terrible decisions over and over again. Like, they're not the biggest bad decisions in the world, but they pile up, right? Decisions like thinking the shit down pair is worth anything together, right? Rather than recognizing that every time they're put together, the Sharks get pinned in their own end. And even if they don't give up a goal, it's a near thing, right? Decisions like continuing to, let guys like Suomela just, or Gambrell, or whichever young guy who's just got to sit in a press box rather than play, just waste away, right? Decisions like, there's a play decision there that shouldn't be made in the sense of Vlasic and Braun. Like, Braun is just done. So why isn't a younger guy getting experience? All of these marginal decisions, signing Haley and then immediately putting him in the lineup, these are the things that are preventing this team, which is a very talented team, from being what Tampa Bay is. The weak links are pulling the entire hole downward, and it all piles up, right? We can't figure out if Jones is any good. And part of that is because Jones hasn't been great, but part of it is because everything in front of him is a fucking mess. Right. Yeah.
Right.
And that this is going to cost the Sharks this cup, these marginal bad decisions, 90% of which are being made by Peter DeBoer. It's what's going to cost us the cup, period.
Well, so here's my main problem. And Haley is like bringing on Kane without any of the upsides.
Well, I was going to ask that. Like, okay, when people bring up the grit thing, immediately, don't you think, well, we already have Kane?
Yeah. And
Meyer?
Yeah.
And Dylan?
It's not like this Hurdle is lacking in that at the moment.
Well, the thing is, and I mean, I called it in our chat after Goodrow's stupid fight with Boston or whoever it was. I mean, Goodrow goes, throws down a fight, throws down the gloves after we score a goal. I mean, this is the you just punch them in the gut time, keep skating, win the game. And Goodrow decides to give in to a fight request, and then he demonstrates how thoroughly untalented he is in that realm, which I don't care about. You know, I'd much rather he play responsible defense than punch a guy. And boom, we pick Haley up off waivers like the next day because I think DeBoer realized he doesn't have somebody who he can say, hey, go out there and lose some teeth. I mean, other than Couture.
The thing is that there's a couple problems with that. First of all, obviously, if you watched the Pens game, having dipshit mixed Gretensity on the team didn't stop any liberties from being taken with the team. Second, it didn't stop our side from risking their fists, particularly Kane and Dylan, when push came to shove. Those guys, you know, mixed it up anyway. It's not like they deferred to 5'9" in skates Haley. You know, what's he going to do? Fucking take on Gensel?
Hold on. There was one perk, and I will give Haley this one thing.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what Crosby was thinking, Mr. Glass, over there.
Oh man.
But he decided to get his face punched.
Dylan got into that first with Crosby and then tossed for having the temerity to touch Crosby, if you noticed.
Yep.
Look, there's plenty of study that has gone into the question of whether, you know, fighting or carrying a goon actually prevents injuries, prevents players from taking liberties with a team that is carrying those guys. And every study says it's not even close. In fact, you are more likely to take injuries when you're carrying a goon.
Yep.
The statistics show. And we saw why that was in this game, right? Like everybody decided they wanted to be a part of this bullshit.
Yep.
I think the important thing to look at, like for the fans who are looking at this and going, well, it's low risk it's not a big deal. Here's the thing. Every minute of ice time that Haley is given,
which is not a lot of ice time, by the way,
first of all, that takes away from the team, right? Because it's a short shift.
Yep.
And like when you add a player who is going to be played in any measure, it is taking away time from another player, period.
Yeah.
Period. Now, if you had no one in your system, which I find hard to believe, that could come up and grow or learn, you know, use the experience, maybe, but that is most certainly not the position the Sharks are in. When you look at this move adds literally nothing.
No.
And costs a significant amount, and not money necessarily. Like,
but all the knock-on effects, as you're saying.
Absolutely.
This points per game. This move to me, you know, and I've been thinking this for a while, but what it really did is it reinforced that there is only one real decision maker in this organization that gets his way, and weirdly, it's DeBoer.
Which
is so fucking ass backwards.
Well, it is in that if your theory, Ben, that the success we're seeing is based on the team saying, you know, fuck you, we're going to make our own system with, you know, cocaine and hookers, then this is DeBoer, like, almost bringing in, like, an agent to disrupt that uprising and instill his will into the ice again, which is so stupid.
Do you know how this is a problem as far as DeBoer is concerned? Because all the people who are willing to look at it and go, well, we don't know what's going to happen, you were kidding yourselves. Because it took less than like 10 minutes for Haley to be introduced into the lineup.
Yep.
Like there wasn't.
No, that's my point.
An acclimation. There wasn't a practice. It was immediate.
Right.
So you cannot trust DeBoer and his deployment.
What I'm telling you, Alex, is it wasn't even that. Remember in the fall when the organization was trying to push Doug Jr. forward as sort of like the face of analytics and the face of, like, you know, the draft and all of the good stuff the Sharks have done in developing young players. And let's be honest, like in the last two or three years, this team has done a very good job at finding guys late in the draft and even finding guys earlier in the draft. Right.
But not skating them.
But yeah, there is that problem. But here we are suddenly, you know, a week and a half before the trade deadline, and the Sharks don't make a claim on DSP from Washington, which would have been a great pickup for the bottom six for nothing. They don't trade a third and a sixth like Washington does for, I'm forgetting his name now, but I posted about it earlier. The Washington did this, right? A team that actually knows how, what it takes to win a Stanley Cup picked up, bottom six forward, great PKer whose name is escaping me for nothing. And the Sharks, what do? They go out and get a guy that PDB loves.
Yep.
That tells me that the inmates are running the asylum. It's not the GM. It's not the assistant GM who only got his job through nepotism, but seems to be Hagelin. Thank you.
Hagelin. Yes.
Yes. This is all about what DeBoer wants.
Yeah. No, it's, and the thing that really terrifies me is I, except for the sort of the buzz phrases of, you know, 200-foot hockey, I don't understand what it is DeBoer's trying to enforce. And I don't understand how Haley brings anything closer to this goal, because all I can see is a bunch of lines who have sort of built chemistry, and certain players like Eric Karlsson, who just seems to bring chemistry with their play. They like, he seems to just find his niche on the ice with whoever he's playing with,
and drives play. Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, and I am so happy Thornton seems to be stealing knees from the youth, and he's getting back to form. So we have two players who can really just play with anybody. And then we have a bunch of guys who, you know, my favorite idea is that Pavelski's just like the mother hen shepherding that entire team into some kind of form. And so all the lines cut back from their shift. They're like, did you see me, Papa Pavelski? Did you see me? I did good. And then they look at DeBoer's like, hey coach.
Yeah. There's no hockey justification for what the Sharks did this week.
Can I point out one more thing? And this is what,
yeah, absolutely.
Of all. Let me ask you guys a question. I think we would all agree that we do have some concerns about the Sharks going into the playoffs, right? We don't think that we're never going to get in, but we have concerns with them. Let me ask you guys this, and this is a basic question. Are any of those concerns legitimately about the offense?
Nope.
No.
Right. And what actually scares me about this, and this is something that's concerned me moving into the trade deadline in general, was given the Sharks' shaky D and the Sharks' shaky goaltending this season, there was high probability that the Sharks would do some sort of move. Now, the right move probably, I think we would all argue, would have been to more or less stand pat. But there was likelihood that something was going to happen. The problem is, it was hard to find that D without giving something up, and relatively tough on the goaltending side. We've already talked about the goaltending situation, which we'll get into after this segment. But the likelihood was they were going to start making forward moves. And now, even after this move, they're being linked to more forward moves, which are moves where they're going to have to give up a lot more to get. And I don't necessarily know that by those rumors. But here's the thing. Yeah. But here's the thing. With a player like Haley, not only does Haley not bring the offense, but the offense doesn't really seem to be the issue this team.
And offense isn't the only way to think about the forward core either, right?
Right.
Like, the one weak link probably among the forward core is the penalty kill, right? And fucking Haley does nothing for that. He doesn't play, special teams at all. And thank God, right? Because I could totally see DeBoer putting him out on the power play. But even at the end of the Pens game, when he was running out the amateur hour penalty power play, I didn't see Haley out there. So whatever. That's what I'm saying. Like, Hagelin is a great penalty killer. And he could have been had for the third rounder that the Sharks always fuck up anyway. So, like, not only is this move to claim Haley, which looks like, it looks like you didn't really give anything up.
Nope.
But by the way, the Sharks did, because they traded Vincent Praplin back to Florida as a quid pro quo. But it's you've taken a guy who's worth nothing to this team and stuck him onto your contract cap, essentially, right? So even if you then wanted a guy like Hagelin, you're now blocked. Without having to give up a player. Washington, they traded just picks for Hagelin. They didn't have to worry about that contract crunch, right?
And
it's just, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, and look at, so we have Chartier and Suomela, like two forwards who are fourth line ready and have demonstrated as such repeatedly in NHL games. Any other well-run franchise, or any of, like, I guess the three well-run franchises in the league, they would be playing fourth line every night that they weren't injured, unless there was something in how they're executing that wasn't quite as good. There you have two guys fighting for the position. So you know, playing two games, or, you know, alternating every game or something to show that these two people are in direct competition to perform well. We have, you know, those two guys, and we have a couple other possibilities, you know, a couple guys sitting on the bubble down the
Francis
AHL.
Perrin. I would rather see Francis Perrin getting time on the fourth line, even if it means that, you know, to get him back down to the CUDA, you'd have to put him through waivers. I mean, who cares? Yeah. Like the organization doesn't care that much about Perrin anyway. He was a throw-in to the, you know,
exactly
to the Carlson trade, right?
Yeah.
If not Perrin, then, you know, there's any number of guys like sort of raising their hands at that level, say, including Gambrel, who's been fine at the AHL level, who should be getting these minutes.
Yeah, like, honestly, I do not like Gambrel in the context of pre-Haley team. But now that we've got Haley, it's like, oh, well, I've got someone I like less than Gambrel.
By the way, like, Radil is not that great a player.
No, but he's better than Haley.
He's also cheap, and he, even though he's, you know, 90 years old already, he's cheap. He's younger than Haley.
Yeah. And he did his, like, he fit on the ice with the team. Watching Haley skate, I was reminded at just how much worse we were just, what, like, two seasons ago.
He can't turn. He can't accelerate. He can't catch a puck. It's just, it's a nightmare. Well, and I just don't understand how the people close to the team can watch him on the ice and think, yeah, that guy's an NHL player.
Well, guys, like I said before, the one of the biggest issues, the thing that people are probably going to overlook is if you're going to have him in the lineup and you're not going to give him any minutes, that comes at the expense of the larger team on the ice. Listen, guys,
burning out everybody else.
Yeah. There are now a lot of rumors circling with the Sharks and trades. Most of them, I would argue, are probably pretty bullshit, so we're not going to talk about them. But one of them,
do you know though? Like,
there are rumors about us with Panarin, Duchesne, and Simmons. The team's going to have to give up a lot to get those guys. So,
especially since Duchesne already moved.
Yeah. That's just before Duchesne moved. But I was going to shrug him off. But the one rumor that did pop up that seem to have some legitimacy was the Sharks in talks with the Anaheim Ducks to trade Ryan Miller. And I think the original assumption was that it was for a third round pick.
Yep.
I want to bring this up because we've already obviously talked a lot about our thoughts with the Sharks and their goaltending situation, particularly, you know, with how illogical we thought it would be for them to make, you know, a move in that regard. Now we've kind of seen one that's popped up that in some respects is a lot easier to swallow than I think any of us were maybe anticipating, right? When we were initially talking about it, we were saying, well, you're not going to move Jones. And if you move Dell, you're not going to get anything, right? Yep. So here's a situation where the Sharks could supposedly trade a third or a couple of draft picks or whatever it is they're looking at for Ryan Miller. Now, Ryan Miller's save percentage this season, despite having a small sample size, is relatively decent. And Ryan Miller in the past was a really good goaltender. And he used to like to stop our shots all the time. Let me ask you a question. How do you view this situation? Because in a lot of ways, if something like this does come to fruition, specifically with Miller, I will point out a couple of things. First of all, it's kind of like a Reimer 2.0 situation, right? The second thing is there are a couple of ways to look at this, right? I think there's the wrong way to look at it. I think the wrong way to look at it is that he would challenge Jones for any sort of starting position. But I think the correct way to look at it is he going to be a more reliable backup than Dell this season so far? Sure, Dell's not having a great season. Although, again, you could argue it's Dell. You could also argue that the fact that both goaltenders are having a down season and the defense looks a little spotty is also more a defensive problem. But the other thing is this. Technically, bringing in a guy like Miller could potentially, if you believe in this thing, light a fire under Jones, right? In the same way that Reimer did, Reimer kind of came in, it kind of pushed things because all of a sudden there is a little bit more of a threat in that position. Now, I'm not saying that Jones would necessarily read into that or buy into that to the level that I'm sure people would like to believe or fans would like to believe. But there is something to that. If the Sharks do make this trade, what is your guys' thought about it? Now, I know we don't know exactly what they would give up because it's obviously not just a third or it would have happened already. But let's just say it's for picks. What do you think?
I mean, this is one of those moves that I would rather hold on to the picks right up until the Stanley Cup parade is going down San Jose, because I don't like it until it works. is basically what I'm saying. And so, and I mean, and it's how can I
so Colin, let me make you feel better about this.
Go for it.
I want you to open up Hockey Reference or HockeyDB, and I want you to look at every Sharks third round pick for the last 20 years. And when you, after you've done that, you'll realize that the Sharks should basically trade every third round pick they have for Miller. There's been one successful third rounder in the Sharks' entire career, you know, draft career. It was Thomas Greiss. And so here's what I think about this. I don't know about any of that voodoo bullshit. Like if you trade for Miller, then all of a sudden Martin Jones is going to be like, oh shit, dudes, I better go kill a hobo so I play better. But what I will say is I think the Sharks, I think DeBoer clearly has no confidence in Dell. And that has affected whether he plays Dell very much, which of course affects Jones because then Jones plays too much. And if anything positive might come from a trade for Miller, it's that perhaps Miller will play some games between now and the playoffs and Jones will get more rest.
I mean, sure.
So I'm for it, and I'm particularly for it for picks only. But if, you know, if the Sharks are willing to trade a guy like Vincent Praplin for quote unquote future considerations, then if they need to throw in some, you know, European dude that they've signed that hasn't worked out as well, then go for it.
I mean, who knows? You guys have heard my, we've got crazy like a Fox Dougie and then playing crazy Dougie. I think we're slipping back to crazy town with Dougie, and I don't know. Like I would not be surprised to see like LeBanc, Suomela, and Heed go away for some just insane trade.
No, I don't think you're gonna see LeBanc go very far.
I'm
not gonna comment on anybody else that you mentioned, but I
think Suomela and Heed are like,
well, they're both go away. Suomela and Heed are both contracts that are up at the end of the year. So if they moved for goaltending help, I'm basically whatever. I mean, they're not going to stick around. He absolutely should not stick around. DeBoer clearly doesn't trust him. He's not going to get any playing time here. And there's other guys in the system that will jump over him. Suomela, honestly, you know, the fact that DeBoer demoted him when he was actually playing fairly well from an underlying stats perspective, and the team continues to kind of leak to local state media how they feel about him, which is that he's soft. Fucking, if I was him, I would go anywhere else too.
Yeah, I mean, he can absolutely hack it in the league.
And he's good. He should be playing. Yeah. I'm not trying to say he's not. What I'm saying is that the team doesn't believe in him.
Yeah. No. I agree. Right? And let's face it, like Vancouver is a shortstop away and has a hot Scandinavian center who would maybe like some company.
Well, and also there's Goldie's there too and can tell him what it's like to transition from the Sharks. So,
hey guys, believe it or not, we also have some games this week.
What?
I know. That was a good cover for my cough, wasn't it? I'm sick, people, but I'm hiding it well. I'm hiding it well.
No, you're not.
The Sharks this week, for our week, which started on a Saturday, took on the Vancouver Canucks at home, which was a game that they won. Now, no, don't confuse this with the fun game we mentioned the week before with DiPietro. This was a completely different game. We had goals in this game from Timo Meier, Logan Couture, and Joe Pavelski. Guys, thoughts on this game?
I really, really hope DiPietro wasn't watching.
Oh.
I mean, poor like guy. this was sort of how I expected this matchup to shake out. Because, you know, we don't have a defense that can really stop a team who has like has that true offensive bottle lightning. I mean, and Vancouver happens to have that right now. They don't have much else, but they've got that. And yeah, like they had someone backstopping them who could, you know, who wasn't playing their first game in the NHL. I mean, it was kind of a boring game. I loved watching Timo, you know, get one, put one away.
Thank God. Like,
No. Getting him off the schneid was wonderful. This was kind of a boring game. It's forgettable because I hope to never see this team again, at least this year, even though I think we see them once more, twice more.
Oh, I'm not sure.
But like, I love you, Vancouver. You're one of my favorite cities. But your hockey team's kind of laughable, except for Peterson right now.
We see them one more time, by the way. One more time.
Well, I look forward to seeing Peterson play again.
Like, well, guys, let's just skip right over from that game and go to the crazy game. Sharks would take on the Boston Bruins. Now, oh, man, this game, I don't blame you if you turned it off early because the Sharks go down 3-0 in the first. And it's not until pretty late in the first when Joe Thornton scores his first of many. So it's 3-1 Boston Bruins. Then Joe Pavelski scores to start the second. So now it's 3-2. And then Jake DeBrusk scores for the Boston. So it's, you know, it sucks again. Life sucks, 4-2. But then Joe Thornton and his rooster cannot be contained. He scores a second goal. Logan Couture would score after him. And then in the third period, with a lot of time to spare, Joe Thornton scores a hat trick. Now, again, people, if you can stick handle that well and you can pass that well, you can damn well shoot that well. Don't you forget it. Now, this was kind of fun to watch. I'm not even at the end of the game, but this whole hat trick was fun to watch for obvious reasons, guys. And I love the fact that the media was trying to talk around it because they're not going to basically say why Sharks fans are so excited about these three goals. Because we were waiting for that fourth goal. Because if you will recall, in Hurdle's first season, when he scored that four-goal game against the Rangers with that awesome dangle goal for the fourth goal, the media came out and were pretty, the old guard in hockey, pretty harsh. Pretty much saying, well, that's disrespectful to be a forward and try to score goals. That's not okay with us. And Joe Thornton kind of clapped back with a, well, if I scored four goals in a game, I would take my cock out and stroke it on the ice. Now, he does not score.
By the way, that whole thing was quote unquote leaked by a Vancouver reporter.
Yeah.
Because if it had been up to state media, we would never have heard anything about that.
Right. And by the way, Joe did not get his fourth goal, but his post-game interview, I know you don't watch those, Ben, but it was pretty hilarious because he was asked about it. He was they said, are you bummed that you didn't get that fourth goal? And he was like, he puts his head down and starts chuckling and goes, there's a lot of Sharks fans that were pretty bummed. So we got you, Joe. The Sharks, this game would go obviously back and forth in this game. It would end up going into overtime. The Sharks started this overtime, I thought, pretty strong.
Whoa. We're not talking about the goal that took us to overtime?
Oh, please. Go.
Call. I mean, like,
there was no goal.
True. I mean, exactly.
That stick clearly was above his shoulder when it struck that puck.
Yeah, above his shoulder.
And then the refs whistled it down, and the Sharks won the game 5-4.
I like this reality, Ben. Can I visit? Because, I mean, yeah, that's exactly the way it should have been. And, I mean, forget the guy's shoulder. The crossbar, ladies and gentlemen, the crossbar is the thing the stick is supposed to be under. And this guy was stick lengths above it. I mean, let's unbelievable. Clear.
The refs were garbage all night.
Oh,
they
yeah.
Probably took a goal away from the Bruins in the first. They're the weak calls, non-existent calls the whole way. I mean, it just really goes to show that the NHL probably needs to have some full-time refs rather than just picking randos off the street ref their games.
Yeah, it was the thing that stuck out in my head, and I'm glad this conversation has reminded me. I need to go look up the refs from this game because I want to watch for them in the playoffs. because so bad.
Yeah, they were bad. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, this wasn't. Yeah, I usually don't complain about that, but this is pretty bad.
I'm not really. By the way, I'm not saying this to complain about them in the sense that they jobbed the Sharks, though they did.
Yeah,
they made bad calls against both teams.
Yeah.
And well, lost control of the game in some sense too. I mean, they were just plain.
So bad. For me, Department of Player Safety, why do you exist when Chara can throw a cross check at Pavelski's head and have nothing happen? You know, 6'6", you know, 7 foot, whatever Chara throwing a cross check at, you know, 5'11" or whatever Joe Pavelski's head. Like, that is insane. It was away from the puck after the play, and then they give Pavelski and Chara offsetting minors for like slashing and roughing. It is insane, especially when you consider what that trade is in terms of 4-on-4 time. You're taking Pavelski off the ice versus Chara. It's a tactical win for the Bruins, but what sort of officiating, what sort of like league maintenance is it when, you know, the goon that is Chara, who should have been thrown out of the league for the Pacioretty hit, you know, just whatever, go slam a captain in the face after already getting away with a high stick. It's a joke. And if these refs are in the playoffs, I'll just assume that that game's going to turn into a bloodbath because the players are just going to start hacking at each other.
Guys, can I please get to the overtime now? Please.
There was no overtime. We covered that.
Yeah, we lost. The Sharks do end up losing this game in overtime. Now, again, as I was starting to point out before Colin so rudely interrupted me with that very wise and actually really appreciated rant. I appreciate that, Colin, because I was going to forget about that. I tried to block that play out of my memory. The Sharks started this overtime pretty strong. It just didn't go their way. And that's the Bruins game. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. Sharks outshot the Bruins pretty dramatically.
Actually, I do have some comments.
Go.
On this. So one of the narratives that was sort of pushed by our favorite writer after this game was the question of whether Jones had finally in this game shown that he can't be trusted this year. And, you know, Jones gave up 6 goals. Well, 5 goals, because one of those was not actually a goal.
True.
And you know, I actually in this game I didn't feel like Jones was really on the hook for maybe more than one of them on the initial run through. But when I saw our favorite idiot writer make that point, I decided to go back and look at the goals more closely. And you know, two of them are just top corner snipes that at full speed. By the way, the second of those actually our local broadcaster missed because they came back from commercial late. So they didn't actually have a good angle and made it look a little bit like worse of a goal than it was. Honestly, when they looked at them, really only one of the goals felt like Jones probably had a shot at it and should have stopped. And the rest were, you know, the kind of goals you sometimes see in a game against a talented offensive team.
Which one do you feel was,
I'd have to go back through my list. It was one of the late goals, and it obviously wasn't the disallowed goal. And I'm just forgetting it. But it wasn't Chara's snipe. That thing was one of the first two. But regardless, like, that's not really even the point. Why are we waiting till this moment in the season to ask that question, first of all, because the dude's been pretty garbage much of the year. And then again, it's really hard to separate how much of this is him and how much of it is the defense and the forwards in front of him, you know, constantly fucking up their assignments. It's a point where most of the rest of the informed people watching the Sharks have realized there ain't shit we can do about this.
Yep.
Because Jones is untradeable and nobody's going to want Dell. And maybe at best case scenario, you get a guy like Miller to come in and fill the hole for a bit. Right. So it's like, welcome, favorite writer, to what people have been talking about for 2 months already.
Yeah.
But
so,
what the fuck, man?
So the big, I mean, Boston is a playoff team. Like, they are a team that can go.
Yeah, they're very good.
They can win a cup this year.
And they traded for Coyle, which is a nice pickup.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, us just skating with this team. And in my opinion, I mean, granted, we didn't have the best game, but we are the better team. I think we are better than Boston.
I'd agree.
So the thing I like from this game is, hey, look, if we saw these guys in the cup final, I'm not going to sweat. I mean, yeah, I'm going to worry about our team coming away with all their bones intact, but yeah, it's a winnable series. But the problem is, all, you know, the flaws we have on defense and the flaws we have in goaltending, they feel very exploitable by a team who pays attention and goes, oh, this is what they're doing. And, you know, as we like to go back to every year, we don't coach that good. So we're just going to run face first into these flaws, and it's going to be a bit of a bloodbath. And then you're going to have a bunch of people saying, oh, Vlasic is, they're going to pin the problem on the one guy. And we're not a one guy problem right now. We are a system.
Right. We're systemic. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So Miller can stand on his head. That guy has shown he can be a magician sometimes. But then we're gambling that he's going to be a magician on the game where we're just totally getting screwed. And that doesn't always shake out. So, I'm back to the DeBoer dead horse. Learn to coach, play your players, win a cup.
Well, guys, let me ask you a question. What do you do when your coach gets kicked out of a game? Because that would happen the next game between the Sharks and Penguins.
DeBoer got kicked out? That's amazing.
No.
Oh.
It was a hypothetical, and it was talking about the Penguins.
Oh.
And I'll get to that. Sharks would beat the Penguins by a score of 4-0. Now, we mentioned a little bit of this game already. There was a lot of face punching. Primarily caused by, the big one, caused by Kane looking at a whiteboard that was in plain sight and violated a hockey code that doesn't actually exist anywhere.
Hold on, because it didn't start there. Tanner Pearson was trying to crush it the whole game.
But that was the tipping point.
And that honestly, you know, Tanner Pearson trying desperately to prove his value to a team that couldn't give a shit about him, just is what it is. He managed to, through his stupidity, actually make the Sharks be even dumber, because both Tomas Hertl and Evander Kane, you know, yep, played into it and put themselves in the box against him.
Yep.
Well,
I just wonder if there's like an under 10 minute drinking club that the NHL has, and like if this is how Haley and Pearson, all these guys, all know each other. They just finish their game, you know, they don't really need to take a shower because they haven't actually worked. And then they just, you know, hit the bar early and talk to each other about how great those 5 minutes of play were.
True.
So, you know, by the time you get to the game and everybody's chippy because guys have been taking liberties the whole time, Malkin and Crosby are both bitching and moaning and taking cheap shots. And let's be honest, Jumbo played into it too. I don't know if you guys saw that clip where he put his stick right in a guy's face when the refs weren't looking.
And I like when Jumbo does it.
It's funny. It's hilarious, but come on, it also contributes to the stupidity.
Yes, this is
true. So, you know, all of that stuff had piled up. And again, like, I thought that's why Gritensity was here, was to go explain kindly to guys like Malkin and Crosby and Pearson that shit doesn't fly with the Sharks, because intangibles, bitches.
Did you just double tap your chest?
I did.
Yeah, he's clapping back. And so to further set Ben off, there's only two goons historically in the NHL who I've had any sort of, okay, yeah, that guy did his job. Like, that fellow served the purpose and kept people scared. And that's Stu Grimson and freaking Mr. Monster baseball bat piece of shit Marty McSorley.
Don't forget Wendell Clark. The Toronto guys will tell you you need to not forget Wendell Clark. No, look.
Wendell Clark, sure. Again, who did he play with?
Again, folks, you know, it's a myth. The whole, like, enforcer thing is a myth. It doesn't actually do anything. It does. And honestly, I'll make this argument again because I have to bring this up every few months. It absolves the referees of their responsibility.
Yep.
And the referees are absolutely 1,000% happy to not do shit about guys taking liberties if they can just step back, guys punch each other, and then they give those guys 5 minute penalties and they can be like, yeah, man, I totally did my job there.
Yep. Right?
So you know, honestly, at this point, it continues to baffle me that fighting is even a thing, given over the how the last few years we've seen the links between fighting, concussions, depression, and suicide.
Yep.
This shit has to fucking stop.
Yep.
And if you are still sitting there cheering every time guys drop gloves and punch each other in the face, you are a terrible human being. I'm just going to say it. And if that, you know, causes people to unfollow us, we are well past time where we can ignore the reality of what these guys are doing and going through.
Ben, losing subscribers for 119 episodes of this podcast.
So I just gotta say, going to a Sharks game, especially a Sharks game like the Penguins game that turns, you know, gritty and chippy and all that shit. Going to that game with Ben is a wonderful experience. not only do you get the live action Circling the Cup podcast experience, but then you get the crowd interactions, and that's really the best part. That's you're in this sea of opposition, and we can just imagine.
We know better at this point, folks.
No, we know don't. Better. No, we no, don't. You get I'm 2 years. No, two no. Beers and a hot dog into Ben, and he's off.
What I'm saying is particularly with the fighting thing. It's why I don't watch the NFL anymore, because I know every time somebody hits a guy up high, that's CTE in motion, right? That is that is a guy's brain that is going to in 10 or 15 years be, you know, not every guy who goes through those concussion syndromes ends up suffering. But look what happened to Ryan Clough, for Christ's sake. Yep. That guy a month and a half ago resigned his job as a coach because he can't keep it together. Right, yep. Because of the damage that was done to him in his playing career from the hits and from the fighting, and Dave just said in chat, you know, what's crazy is legal hits probably cause some of this damage too, and they do, which is why the league needs to be better about enforcing those high hits, you know, which is why I'm okay with the 2-game suspension for McGee.
It's not just high hits though; it's in general. Right?
Will rattle you,
hang off your skull.
Sure. Yeah. You know what? Look, I know I'm the crazy one. I would be perfectly fine with a league in which guys don't get hit at all, because that is a league that emphasizes skating and skill and shooting and scoring. And
you would need to move to international ice to really make that happen, though, I think.
I'm sure, maybe.
I agree with Alex, but I gotta say, international ice hockey is slow.
Yeah,
it is.
I don't think to eliminate hitting, you have to go to larger ice. I really don't. There's not actually that much hitting even in the NHL right now. And when it is hitting, it's like what Michael Haley does, where he's 5 seconds behind the play and just clobbers a guy for no reason and is out of position.
So my favorite anti-hitting change in the NHL is the change to icing. Because to me, the train wreck hits and I've changed this opinion over the years. I used to love watching for those train wreck hits because, I mean, granted, I'm a Sharks fan, so those train wreck hits were kind of the only time we'd ever get one on an actual contender
football
team.
Follies. You guys remember those videos from the 80s, right?
Yeah,
where
yeah.
guys are getting leveled over the middle, and we just loved that shit. I did too. I totally did. And I liked hockey fights when I first started watching hockey. You know, in the mid 2000s, it's exciting. I get it. But guys, we understand the actual repercussions now. We have to understand the repercussions and the fact that, you know, guys make a career from this and then they're dead within 10 years.
Yep. Well, so I do not like Sidney Crosby at all. I've never
nice
liked
transition. That's
quite a segue, but yes, go ahead.
So I've never liked this guy. Even if he had been drafted by the Sharks, I don't know if I would have given him a fair shake, just because I just something.
Oh,
about
that's the biggest lie I've ever
probably,
heard.
Probably, I would have in my life. I would have soothed my feelings in the shine of Stanley Cup. But he is an amazing hockey player. And the fact that his career has been shortened and is likely going to be, like, he's probably not going to be playing into his late 40s or early 40s because of the sniping he's taken, because of the really shady hits. And, you know, we are getting less tremendous hockey from amazing players because of these sorts of hits. And you need to be able to look at a guy who, like me with Sidney Crosby, hate the guy to death. but I want to see him make amazing hockey plays, just, you know, not against my team. And, you know, like McDavid and Peterson, those are two guys who I'm thrilled to see what happens when they get some line mates and really sort of take off. Cause again, generational, amazing hockey players, one shitty hit and, you know, we lose that.
Mark Savard.
You just inadvertently created my worst nightmare. I just randomly had a flash of the future. A future which I pray never happens. But a future where Sidney Crosby ends up on the Blackhawks. Not because I'm worried about the Blackhawks being good, but because I'm worried about Sidney Crosby scoring a million times and hearing Chelsea Dagger over and over.
Chelsea Dagger is Chicago, not
No, or he said that they were on the Blackhawks.
I know my teams. I haven't had that much beer. I forgot to say who scored this game. Guys, Tomas Hertl scored early. Yep. His name's going to pop up a lot.
Evander you know Kane. Who didn't
score? We've heard that guy. Hold on. Tomas Hertl again. Hello. Two guys on fire. And, of course, Brent Burns, call and go.
You know who didn't score? The Penguins.
Oh, that's right. I feel so good. Salt the wound. Guys. Three stars of the week. I'm feeling there's like only, it's Colin.
Can I go first? Because there's only one set of three stars of the week.
Yeah, fine.
Come on. Okay,
it's Ben. It's Ben.
All right.
Ben needs to ruin Colin's choices this time.
Third star of the week, Gritensity. Second star of the week, Intangibles. First star of the week, Michael fucking Haley. I, for one, welcome our Gritensity Intangibles overlords here on.
You can't. Listen. I'll give you the last two. But the irony of the three stars has to stop somewhere, Ben. Has to stop somewhere.
It doesn't.
So my third star is the Florida Panthers.
Dude, you guys are messing this up, man. You guys are messing it up.
My second star is going to be LeBanc because that guy was a joy to watch when the puck came to him this week. I actually thought Ben telling me I was going to love the Penguins game was that my whole prediction that LeBanc is going to dangle through an entire defensive group was going to happen this game.
And no, I'm just thought watching you'd the enjoy game like, come on. I just thought you'd enjoy the chaos and the stupidity.
Yeah, thanks.
And the win. The Sharks did win 4-0, even if that game was
against
stupid.
The Penguins.
And by the way, you know, one thing I do want to say is I did feel like the refs actually did a pretty good job of trying to keep that game under control. I don't feel like the game spiraled out of control because the refs let some stuff go early.
Sure.
If you know what I mean. Like, I felt like they called what needed to be called. Because sometimes you will see those games where they get out of control because, you know, some guy makes a gross hit, the refs don't call it. And so the other team makes a gross hit, the refs don't call it, right?
On the playoffs, man.
I don't think that's what happened here. You just had a whiny, bitchy, moany team, the Penguins, who have been losing more than they're accustomed to, and have taken on the sort of demeanor of their captain, whiny, bitchy Crosby, and just get petulant when they lose and when they get dominated. And they did get dominated in this game, at least on the scoreboard, and also on the most important scoreboard of all, the intangible scoreboard.
The intangibles. My first star is Jumbo, because whoever has been whispering into Jumbo's ear to remind him that he has a shot, thank you. Please keep reminding. I'm like, Jumbo, keep training, keep resting. You're coming back, and it's awesome to watch. So
yeah, I agree.
Guys, I'm gonna do my three stars if you're cool with it, and I'm gonna do it properly. My third star this week. Third star this week is actually going to be Jumbo, which I know seems hard given that he had a hat trick, and I am very proud of him. But actually, it's because my second star is going to go to Joe Pavelski, who had just a crap ton of assists and a bunch of goals. That guy is just, gosh, he just ages backwards. And my first star is
Michael Haley, of course.
No, my first star is Tomas Hertl, who's just on fire right now.
Yeah,
now,
he's so good.
I do want to give a joke bonus. My joke bonus star. Because you guys just completely did joke stars for your other way, except for
what?
Now, mine is actually Kane, because again, Ben, I know you don't listen to post-game interviews, but you got to go back. If you haven't read Kane's comments on him looking at the whiteboard against the Penguins.
No, I saw it.
And it is hilarious.
And if I were going to be, you know, not facetious this week in our week of our Lord and intangible savior, Michael Haley. I think Kane is absolutely worthy of a star this week, as is Hurdle, obviously. And any, you know, outside of the Bruins game, I think even Jones is worthy of his recent play of being considered for a star. I mean, the majority of the games in the last 2 weeks, he's only given up a couple goals, which, thank God, I mean, that's what we've been waiting for all year, essentially. But Kane's been so good. I mean, I don't want to understate that. Kane has been fantastic over the last month, like literally what the Sharks are paying him $7 million to be. Exactly, yeah. Right. And to that point, you know, I'll say this again. Brendan Dillon is the second best defenseman on the Sharks right now.
Yep.
Because it's Burns terrifying. The forward.
Well, guys, on that note, I want to throw some shout outs here because we've had quite a few listeners in our chat's been very active. So I'm going to give my
listener stars. I like
favorite. Oh, not listener stars. That's a great idea. But no, because there's like not that many people listening. But I will say my favorite comments of this chat. First one, I guess these are stars, Ben. All right. Favorite star comments. First one goes to Dave B, who wrote his favorite comment. It's not even his comment, but I don't care. McDavid found the best way to get away from the oil. Watch out, NHL. That's a great comment.
Yeah.
With that suspension. My second favorite comment is from Illuminato. This podcast has a 2-drink minimum.
Two?
Yeah, you got to raise it, but very good observation.
I mean, I was on 6 beers last week. I'm on only 3 this week, so.
So basically, you guys are telling me I need to start morning drinking.
Yes, absolutely. It's required.
I need to Irish up my coffee.
And then the last comment, it's not my favorite comment, but it's actually one that I think is worth talking about because we're going to talk about the games next week. Abraham Dominguez writes, what kind of game do you – I'm going to do it what I think he sounds like. What kind of game do you guys think we'll get Tuesday night against Boston? I actually don't think that's what he sounds like, but – guys, what kind of game do you think we're going to get on Tuesday against Boston?
Oh, man. Go ahead, Colin.
Sorry, I need the question again.
It's going to be a gong show. You think so? 100%, it's going to be a gong show. Because Haley's going to be in the lineup. He's going to, at some point, try to justify his value with a fight. I don't even know who the Bruins are carrying who would be dumb enough to do that with him, but... you know, it's going to happen, and the refs are going to, you know, sit in the corner doing nothing, and probably Tomas and Hurdle's going to get his knee blown out as a result.
Oh, jeez, so, Ben!
Well, no, so gosh, Ben...
it's like touching the Stanley Cup.
we need to get back to finishing these guys on an upswing, I think, but Ben touches on something, like, real here. You know, any non-skilled person we bring in who, I'm sorry, you have to be huffing paint to not realize how far off the line you are from the guys around you. Haley tried to do the patented Sharks saucer backhand pass during his game. That was a lot of turnovers. That person is going to, as Ben says, going to start a fight. But let's face it, that person is probably going to Rafi Torres somebody. And yeah, Hurdle or some other star getting sniped as a retaliation.
It's what happens, guys.
Yeah, exactly. So Haley's going to run out there. He's going to take a run at somebody. He's going to put somebody like neck first into the boards, you know?
Oh, I still thought you were going to say put him in a body bag.
Well, that's assuming that Haley can catch anybody on the ice, but I'm with you here.
It's going to be a blindside. It's going to be just pure dirt. And
oh no, Ben, he will start going to wind up in the second period. And the hit will occur in the third.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to start skating at the boards in the second. He's going to get there in the third. And, you know, when the hit collides, we're going to suddenly have a star player with, you know, a broken joint somewhere.
You guys right now are the human forms of that Price is Right. Bum, 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 bum.
It's a good thing neither of us lives in San Jose, so we're not going to have to move away when something does happen.
Yeah, I'm still in the vicinity, guys. Thanks a lot. The Sharks do have a bunch of games next week, as you've heard.
But do they have any back-to-backs?
Tomorrow? Well, no. Surprisingly, wait till we get to next month because uh-huh is the answer. Yeah. The Sharks start our week on Saturday playing against the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Oh, no.
Oh, they do have a back-to-back. Damn it, Ben. It's that calendar, the way they put Saturday on one side and Sunday on the other.
Son of a bitch.
Get me every time.
You lied to our fans.
Second game of the back-to-back.
It's Detroit, though. It's fine.
Starting is against Detroit. That's correct. And then they take on the Boston Bruins on Tuesday, as you've heard. And then, woo!
Ooh, podcast night.
It'll just make the podcast. The Sharks are at home against the Colorado Avalanche. Don't know why I said it that way, folks. The San Jose Sharks, as of this podcast, I say slowly as I stall and scroll down.
Trying to figure out where
they are. Jeez, we're not doing that bad.
Are sitting second in the Pacific. They are now even in games with Calgary, but they're behind them. So Calgary's 83. Sharks have 80. And that closest team would be Vegas in third at 69. Now, when you are looking at the overall NHL standings, the Sharks are tied for third with that Boston team. You watch those guys.
Can I just say how happy I am that the Golden Knights have fallen back to the earth this year a little bit?
Well, I mean, who's...
Why does that have to be said? Have you guys just unanimously agreed upon?
Because fuck those guys. That's why.
I mean, but why? Like, other than them being in our division, why? Because I'm kind of with Alex, or at least I think I'm with Alex, that I would rather have an expansion team come in and do well than, you know, slowly grind their way up.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Yes. Not that well, and I'm glad they're going down now. So I'm a little bit of you, Colin, a little bit more Ben in this one. But I hear what you're saying. Like, when Seattle comes in the league, like, you want a franchise to come in and be healthy. And for a city like Vegas, one, the timing with the tragedy and the team coming in, that was a great thing for the city to be able to rally around. And also, you know, when you're coming in and you're trying to attract a new fan base, especially in a non-traditional hockey market, look, last season for them was a good thing, and it was a good thing for the NHL. Now, I also want to remind you, Colin, they're in our division, so fuck them. But
yeah. So
I hear what you're saying.
I want Seattle to come in and have the last game between Seattle and Vancouver determine who goes to the playoffs. Like, that's what I want Seattle's first year to be. And ideally, they knock Vancouver out. Because then Vancouver has a rival right across the border, and they get to be angry at each other.
Well, there you go. That concludes our San Jose Sharks podcast for this week, guys. You can subscribe to us on iTunes if you got an Apple device. If you got an Android device,
we don't know. Just
this is the longest running not funny gag ever. We don't know where to
it
go.
Really is.
You do. You can find us on the web.
No. Why do you have an Android device? Look, throw it away. Go buy an iPhone. You'll be able to find us on iTunes.
I have two. I have a phone for work and an Android device.
Shut up. Throw it away.
But I subscribe to the podcast on my iPhone. But I don't listen to it because that would be kind of creepy.
Yeah, actually, Lumato makes a great point. You can always watch the unedited version where we do our pre-gaming on YouTube.
Yeah, if you want to know what our podcast is really like before the podcast starts, it's not as glorious as you think.
So you're saying we only publish the published parts?
I edit this version down to something slightly resembling a professional podcast.
Illuminato says uncut. It's called the director's cut.
Let's call it professional adjacent.
Okay. That. Well, okay.
Folks, people are not going to know where to find us on the web. You can find us on the web at circlingthecup.com. You can find us on Facebook, which, it's a thing. Facebook.com/circlingtheclub. And, of course, you can follow pretty much Ben on Twitter at circlingthecup as he fights.
Makes friends.
With.
Whoa, dude. Kevin. I don't fight with anybody.
Whoa. I thought we were keeping that name out of our mouths just to...
Ben said it like 10 times this podcast.
I know, but he's grumpy and old.
I didn't say anybody's name. I said my favorite writer.
No, you slipped a couple times.
Well,
fuck that guy anyway.
That concludes another batshit crazy week of show.
I hope he's...
Look what Michael Haley has done to us, you guys.
Guys.
Again.
Guys. I love you. Listeners, we love you. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah, thanks for listening in, folks.
If you listen live and you write us live, we do try to address stuff. If you don't listen live and you write us, we still try to address stuff. And if you listen but you don't write us, cool. No, just kidding.
Yeah,
we love you. We can't address anything. Legitimately, we will talk about your questions as long as they pertain to the Sharks. I don't want any crazy life questions like my boyfriend broke up with me. What do you think I should do? Look,
dude, I'm totally down to do anyway, some love girl. Line stuff. Yeah, come on. I can channel Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Let's not.
Yeah, no, let's not.
We're barely competent at hockey.
This is a long outro, guys. Woo, we're not competent in outros. Guys, say goodbye.
Hashtag Gritensity.
My very fluffy dog is looking out the window.
Hashtag Intensity.
Bye-bye.
Intangibles.
Ah, bye-bye. Thanks for listening, guys. Seriously, that was a lot of fun.
This was easily one of my favorite things we've ever done.
I feel like the Sharks, if they keep making crazy cakes move, it gets easy.
I don't know that it's actually going to make a good podcast.
Well, no, but...
but it sure was fun to do in the moment.
I just enjoy how we're popping off when it is technically a winning week.
I know, right? I mean... the Sharks were 2-1, and honestly, they should have been 3-0 after all of this bullshit, and they just had the second game stolen from them. God, so annoying. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing that's hard about this year, right? And hard about our podcasts, I think, to some extent, is we're so frustrated by the stuff that is clearly holding this team back.
Well, it's...
but the Sharks are still fine.
Yeah, the frustration for me is we're a millimeter away in space. So it's just like we can see it. We can almost touch it if we could just get that little bit of impulse to move us. But fine, we're just forever fine struggling.
Yeah. Fine is relative, though, because here's the thing. I don't disagree, and I try to point that out in the podcast a lot as far as like, look, we're nitpicking here because we need to have things to talk about, and there are topics to talk about. Yeah, but... at the same token, I will point out that I am now in the camp. I should have been earlier, but I wasn't. Now in the camp of being good is cool, but you know, as we talked about last season, that can no longer be the goal at this point. Like the Sharks,
the Sharks are all in.
They need to be, but they need a cup. So these all become not, they're not as minor when you're looking at it in that way.
There's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
The Sharks have made the moves. There's no guarantee that EK65 is going to resign here. There's no cap space to really preserve the team we have this year.
Nope.
And that's the reality, right? This is the year. I feel like we've made this point, right? And this is the point I keep trying to make on Twitter too, right? That we don't hate the Sharks. We love the Sharks. We don't hate Melker Carlson. Melker Carlson is fine. But the decisions made to play suboptimal players and blah, 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 blah means that the Sharks are not going to win the cup.
Yeah.
And they absolutely should win the cup.
Yeah. Well, this roster should.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Oh, I tell you what, if they don't, and you look back at this 10 years later and you look at this roster, you're going to be like, how?
Right?
Well,
how?
Yeah.
So I think, Ben, your rant last week, you're pointing out that we are a roster of record of career seasons right now.
Yes.
I mean, so Thornton is bouncing back. I sincerely did not expect that. I had kind of written him off as a third liner sliding
forward. Put this in the podcast somewhere.
and so
Wait, Colin, ready? Bonus edition.
Oh God! so we.
You know what I'll do is I'm gonna actually play the music over the rambly shit, and I'm gonna just have us do this after hours shit after the music is over.
and so we have a bunch of people who are breaking out and really just sort of establishing themselves as this is the player I want to be for the rest of my career. You know, the next 5 years, let's say. And all of a sudden, this generational player is coming back. Like, he is Lemieux coming back from cancer, though. Let's face it, Lemieux came back and it was immediately kicking ass. And like, I'm stunned. Yeah, this
I'm not. Do you know why I'm not stunned? Sorry, I didn't remember that. But you know why I'm not stunned? Because Joe Thornton has always had an extremely high hockey IQ.
Yeah.
And his game, while Ben made the point earlier this season in the offseason that one of the concerns about his injury was, you know, being able to skate to get the space to do what he needs to do. The reality is, while that is a function of his game for sure, he's also so incredibly smart and so good at adapting his play.
Yep.
You know, like him making the move years ago to becoming basically a two-way forward at that point in time was insanely smart. And when you look at his plays now, like you can be annoyed because he holds the puck on too long, especially when the game comes down the wire, which he's doing less and less, I feel.
Yep.
But fact of the matter is, that guy is seeing plays two plays ahead of the actual play.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's a smart dude.
I mean, that's the same thing that keeps Pavelski from falling off a cliff, too, to be perfectly honest. Like, he's slowed down. He's not as good defensively as he used to be, but he's so smart and he works so hard at everything that when it matters, he's just in the right position and his stick is in the right place. And he can have a year like this when it looked like, you know, and it turns out partly due to injuries, he was going to fall off a cliff, you know, as of last year.
Yeah.
So I think I actually am going to include this stuff after the music, just in case anybody decides to keep listening. But we should probably wrap up and maybe save some of this stuff for next time, because this is good shit, and it's worth reiterating, right?
Yeah.
We bitch and moan about where this team is because it should be better than it is.
Period. Yeah, and like the point I failed to make this morning was, Haley has shown me just how high our lowest player is this year compared last year.
Yep.
I mean,
he's so much worse than even the guys he's coming in for.
Yeah. And
it's incredible.
It really is. Like the good feeling I take away from that is, oh my God, this is how good our fourth line is. This is how good our worst are. And well, okay, you have to include Haley now, so our worst is significantly worse, but like, wow, we really are that good of a team. It really is us losing more than other teams beating us, which is that's the Penguins that beat us. You know, the Penguins only really lost when that Penguins team only really lost when they slipped and gave the game away. Otherwise, it was always theirs to win. And we are that team now, but we just have an inept person steering it.
All right. Yeah. It's too late for a rant. So
yep.
I have to edit this shit and get it posted so I can actually get some sleep. So, hey folks, thanks for listening. Illuminato, you asked a great question about, is there a community somewhere that's on a serverless platform? Really, we're looking at Facebook, our page on Facebook, or my sort of Twitter place to be where we communicate. We don't really have like a Slack or anything like that. So,
I mean, if we got more people, we could set up a Discord. But
yeah. Only
Discord. Do live games on Discord.
It's funny because the only thing I do on Discord is X-Wing. So,
I think it's a great community platform. So
yeah, maybe it may be worth me thinking about for sure since I'm on Discord now thanks to X-Wing tournaments. Anyway. Yeah. Thanks, guys. I'm going to go ahead and stop this so we don't go on forever.
Yep.
Peace out.
Later. We love you.
We do. I love the Sharks community so much. Sincerely, it is the best.